In whom?
Mahat-gunaha.
Exalted transcendental qualities.
Rajan.
O king. Guriyante. Are glorified. Kavi bihi. By persons who are thoughtful and advanced in knowledge. Muhu. Always. Not.
These.
Aduna.
Today.
Hudiyante.
Are obscured.
Yata.
Just as.
Bhagavati.
In the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Ishvare.
The Supreme Controller.
Translation. O King, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by learned saints and Vaishnavas, as all good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they also exist forever in his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. You can repeat. O King, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by learned saints and Vaishnavas, as all good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they also exist forever in his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. From authoritative scripture, it is learned that Prahlad Maharaj still lives in Vaikuntha Loka, as well as within this material world on the planet Sutala. This transcendental quality of existing simultaneously in different places is another qualification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Goloka eva nivashiti akilatma bhutaha. The Lord appears in the core of everyone's heart, yet he exists on his own planet, Goloka Vrindavan. A devotee acquires qualities almost the same as those of the Lord because of unalloyed devotional service. Ordinary living beings cannot be so qualified, but a devotee can be qualified like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not in full, but partially. Interesting. Yasmin Mahaguna Rajan Kriyante Kavibir Muhuhu Nate Duna Pityante Yatta Bhagavati Shvare. So, Om Ganata Mirandasya, Gananjana Shlakya, Chakshur Meditam, Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this is a very interesting point, how a devotee can also be in more than one place at one time. And this is different than the yogis' expansions. We mentioned this the other day in class, that it's mentioned that an ordinary yogi, he can do 9 expansions at one time. And these expansions are described as like television expansions. We talked about this before. And they're all doing the same thing at the same time. So it can be a little interesting if a yogi has 9 wives and he's saying something to one wife and the same thing comes out to another wife with the other wife's name. You know, he says, my dear wife, Nancy, whatever, you know. Obviously, that's not his Indian name. But my name is Petunia. So it can be quite embarrassing.
If they all have
the same name. What? Unless they all have the same name, yeah. Unless the girls are also yoginis and they've expanded 9 times. And sometimes you find an extraordinary yogi who can even do 50 times. That's the story of Shabrimuni. It's an interesting story. Shabrimuni, he offended Garuda, the bird carrier, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he wouldn't let Garuda eat his prasadam. And Garuda's prasadam was fish. Anyway, so, and those fish were in the Jamuna River. So Shabrimuni, he sort of cursed Garuda that if you come back here and eat again, you're going to die. And Garuda, respecting Shabrimuni's curse, didn't go back to the Jamuna, but Shabrimuni, because he offended a Vaishnava, he had to suffer, and he became overcome by lust. I mean, that's one of the punishments that one gets. And there's two ways that this pastime is described. One way is that he saw some fish engaged in conjugal loving affairs, whatever that means with fish. And another way is some fish like rubbed by him in a sensitive spot. And he became agitated, and then he dove out of the water, and he went to the king, Mandata, and he said, "My dear King Mandata, I'd like to marry..." Excuse me. "I'd like to marry your daughter." And King Mandata took one look at this yogi, and he said, "Wow, he's a little waterlogged." Just like if any of you ever, when you were young, went into a bathtub and stayed in there for half an hour. I did that when I was young. Not anymore. And the skin, it gets, you know, really wrinkly and ugly. Even if you're a kid. So what to speak of the yogi, he looked pretty bad. And so the king was thinking, no one's going to marry him. But the yogi had another idea. He actually transformed himself into a, you know, super handsome guy, went into the women's ashram, you know, where all the ladies were. It's interesting, there's some derivation of that term, gymnasium, from similar to gynecology, you know, gyna, you know, meaning women. And that's mentioned in Old English. Anyway, whatever. So he went into the women's ashram and he said, "Whoever wants to marry me can marry me," because that's what the king said, you know, to get out of offending the sage, that, you know, if someone wants to marry you, they can marry you, sage. And so all the girls agreed to marry him. Not only agreed, they were fighting over him. And as a result, he married all 50 of them. And he was, this particular yogi, he was not just an ordinary 9 expansion yogi. He was able to expand himself into 50 different forms and have 50 different wives. And ultimately he realized, you know, it was a little over-endeavor. And he said to his wives, "I mean, we've been just engaged in sense gratification. Thank you. Now it's time to actually become Krishna conscious. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now's the time to look for the absolute truth." And anyway, they all went back to Godhead. Ultimately, they became free from the offense. So that was the 50 expansion. However, devotees have different types of expansion. They don't expand themselves for sense gratification. Devotees can be in many places. And that's brought out, that point is brought out in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the third part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and I'm going to read a little bit from it, and where several things happen. First of all, Gopa Kumar is traveling to all these various planets, not only spiritual planets, but he's traveling to different material realms, beginning with the Earth planet, which is where he was born, and then going up to Swarga, and then after Swarga, he goes to the planets of the Kumaras. After that, he goes to Brahma Loka. And so all these different planets. And everywhere he goes, he doesn't have a material body like me. Everywhere he goes, he sees Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is looking the same. And he's saying to Narada Muni, "Hey, how come you're everywhere I go?" And Narada Muni says basically to him, you know, this is a spiritual body. It's not really limited. You also have a spiritual body. You should know these things, Gopal Kumar. And the spiritual body is not really limited according to time, place, and circumstance. So Narada Muni is actually present in all these places. And it's actually quite interesting in regard to this verse here that Narada Muni is always in the spiritual world. You know, we hear the pastime of Narada Muni being born as the son of a maidservant and serves the sages for the 4 months of the rainy season. Then after that, he wanders around after his mother dies. Then after that, he becomes the son of Lord Brahma. That's described, he takes a spiritual body like the thunder and lightning. But there's also, Narada Muni's there in the spiritual world too, which is really interesting. In other words, he's an eternal associate of the Lord. It's not that he just comes into being or just comes or accepts his form or position as Narada Muni when he takes birth as Lord Brahma's son. He was actually in the spiritual world before, which is really interesting. And he expands, you know, there's an avatar who performs this particular pastime of taking birth as a Shudra's son, a Shudrani's son, and then later on taking birth as Lord Brahma's son. Very interesting. And this is brought out in the Brihad Bhagavatam, and I'd like to read a little bit about this. Actually, several things before I read. That it's mentioned in the purports, which Gopi Pranadana Prabhu translated from the Acharya's purports, because even Sanatana Goswami commented on his own work, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's actually quite interesting that someone writes a book and then he writes a commentary on his book. And other devotees have written commentaries on this book, such as Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Sarasvati Thakur and others. So when a Vaishnava, such as Gopi Pranadana Prabhu or Vridhananda Maharaj, who translated the Śrīmad Bhagavatam, the later cantos of Śrīmad Bhagavatam, or Śrīla Prabhupāda, of course, writes their commentaries, they're actually based on the previous Acharya's commentaries. And in one sense, as Śrīla Prabhupāda stated, the commentaries are more important than the verses. Prabhupāda said that about the Śrīmad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Now, why would Prabhupāda say this? Is it an indication of any false prestige? Obviously not, because Prabhupāda is not subject to, you know, prophet adoration, distinction, false prestige like the rest of us are. You know, if I say, you know, I'm a better preacher than someone else, it's obviously false prestige. So the reason is that you can understand Krishna and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness more easily through Krishna's devotees. So when Prabhupada said his purports are more important than the verses, he's actually glorifying the disciple of succession and his spiritual master. And so, because the purports, with the purports or by the purports, we can actually understand the import of a particular verse. If we didn't have Prabhupada's purports in the Gita, we wouldn't understand the Bhagavad Gita. Just like when Srila Prabhupada first was teaching Bhagavad Gita, he didn't have his Bhagavad Gita for the devotees, but he used Dr. Radhakrishna's translations. And he said that Dr. Radhakrishna, who happened to be an impersonalist, his translations were good. Because more or less he translated as it is. But his purports stunk. Because in his purports, you know, he just like took the indirect interpretation of verses that were easily understood by the direct interpretation, which goes against the Vedic rules or the Sanskrit rules for interpretation. Sanskrit rules for interpretation are that if something makes sense by the direct interpretation, you accept it. And if something doesn't make sense, then you take it as a little metaphor, an allegory, or something like that. Just like the example sometimes given, it's an English example, is that if someone says, go to someone's house that's on the river. Now, if you take it literally, you think the house is on the river. because the person usually doesn't have a houseboat. In that case, the house is on the river. But it means the house is on the bank of the river. So you really have to take a little bit of an indirect understanding when someone says something like that, because it doesn't make sense. Someone's mansion is on the river. You know, it's on the bank of the river. So that the rules for Sanskrit are such, or Sanskrit interpretation are such. So Dr. Radhakrishna, he said such crazy things as when Krishna states, you know, manmana bhava mad bhakto, become my devotee, worship me, offer your obeisance unto me, thus you will come to me. You know, I'm emphasizing the word me. Again, he says, well, Krishna's not referring to himself. He's referring to the unborn beginningless within himself. You know, I think Krishna would be intelligent enough to say that if he was referring to it. Krishna would say, you know, just think of the unborn intelligent, you know, unborn within me. Just surrender to the unborn within me. You know, Krishna doesn't have to mince his words. He's not interested in PC language. We're talking about that actually on the GBC right now, about how to present ISKCON's position on different subject matters, like homosexuality and everything like that. So some people are saying, well, we should have PC language. That means politically correct language. And just, like, give them some pablum. And other people are saying we should just give them the straight sauce. And me, I'm sort of taking it the medium or the intermediate tact, saying that better not to put out a position paper. If you put out a position paper, let's say, you know, if it's pablum, people are going to read through it and both sides will be offended. Because one side will understand that actually what your original intention is, and the other side will say, you're not following Prabhupada's. So you really can't win. So anyway, getting back to the point. So it's the purports that are actually very important in explaining the verses so we can understand the verses. So in the purports, and I'm going to read, that's a brief introduction to this section of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's a very wonderful section where it describes the different types of expansion. Actually, I want to talk about a few things before I describe. It talks about how the Goloka Vasis, that means those who live in Goloka Vrindavan, expand as the Vaikuntha Vasis. I mean, for example, you have Sridham, who expands as Garuda in Vaikuntha, who is the Lord's carrier. You know, Sridham, of course, is a coward boy, and he's actually the brother of Srimati Radharani. Interesting, isn't it? So the brother of Srimati Radharani becomes Garuda in the Vaikuntha pastimes. And then Garuda expands in this material world as the son of Vinata and Kadru. Not Kadru, Vinata and Kashyapa Muni. You know, Kadru is the mother of the serpents. Vinata is the mother of Garuda. So in other words, well, the personality Garuda is an expansion or an avatar. And also, the Vaikuntha associates in the spiritual world, who are non-different from the original residents in Goloka Vrindavan, expand in this world as demigods. But the demigods are not absolutely the same. They're pratichaya. They're like shadows. This is mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. They're like shadows of the original Vaikuntha persons. In other words, the demigods, let's say you have Indra or something like that, and I don't know who Indra expands from, but Indra is a jiva soul who is a conditioned soul. And the Vaikuntha associates are not conditioned souls. They may be jiva souls who are able to expand in different ways. So it's, in other words, it's like a partial expansion or a shadow. Does everyone understand that? It's actually quite interesting. So the demigods are like, or like empowered expansions of particular persons. Just like you have the demigod of Kandarpa, Cupid, who is an expansion of Prajuna, who is one of the Chaturvyuha expansions of the Supreme Personality of God. That's mentioned by Prabhupada lightly in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the Krishna book. So you have Prajuna, who is one of Krishna's sons, and also there's also the Prajuna who is Vishnu Tattva too. So there's all these different types of expansions. In other words, the residents of Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, of course Krishna, Radharani, they can appear in non-different forms, and they can appear in expanded forms, and they can appear in empowered forms. Does everybody follow that so far? It's actually quite an interesting thing. So let's read a little bit from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And Drona and Dara, who are sometimes described as persons who performed austerities in order to become Krishna's mother and father in Krishna Lila, they're actually expansions of the original Yashodamayi and Nanda Maharaj in the spiritual world. And then Yashodamayi and Nanda Maharaj in the material world are non-different, are actually the same, absolutely the same as Nanda and Yashoda in the spiritual world. So in other words, it's not that Drona and Dara become Nanda and Yashoda, it's that Nanda and Yashoda expand as Drona and Dara. Quite interesting. Okay, so let's read. Just as the demigods who have entered the material creation, they're called counterparts of the Lord's Vaikuntha associates, the eternal associates from Vaikuntha are incarnations of Goloka devotees. This is exactly what I just mentioned before. This is the translation of the verse. Yet, like the demigods themselves, those very devotees appear on earth now and again, for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu when he wants to enjoy various pastimes. So, let's read this commentary. It's very interesting. Some say that many of the Brajavasis who appeared on earth during Krishna's pastimes 5,000 years ago were incarnations of demigods. This addresses what I mentioned before. Nanda Maharaj, for example, is said to be an avatar of the Vasu named Drona. If taken literally, this idea would rule out the possibility that the earthly Brajavasis are eternal associates of the Supreme Lord. In other words, let's explain that, expand on that. If you say that Nanda and Yashoda are expansions of Drona and Dara, that means, who are demigods actually, that means they're not Nityasiddha devotees. So it's not meant to be taken literally. But the truth is just the opposite, as confirmed in scriptures such as the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda. Demigods like Drona are partial expansions of the original Brajavasis. And those original Brajavasis accompany Krishna when he descends to earth. Does everyone follow the logic so far? Those original Brajavasis. So the original Brajavasi is Nanda and Yashoda who appeared on earth. And Drona and Dara are their expansions as demigods. They're not the same. They're not absolutely the same persons. They're just like, because they're demigods, it's like Chaya, Pratichaya, instead of what's called Pratibimba. Pratibimba means that they're the same persons. Goparaj, Nanda, and the other devotees in Goloka expand as avatars in Vaikuntha to become Sri Nanda and other associates of Lord Narayan, because one of Lord Narayan's associates is Nanda too. The same devotees thus enjoy pastimes in two worlds simultaneously, or simultaneously, depending on your pronunciation, Goloka and Vaikuntha. And so it would be incorrect to assert that because the Vaikuntha associates of Narayan are avatars, they are not eternal. So the Vaikuntha associates are eternal. I mean, just like Krishna. You have Advaita, Chuta, Nadi, Radhananta, Rupa, Madhyam, Puranam, Purusham, Naviyovanam, Cha. Everybody understands that? That Krishna is one, and he has a variety of forms for different purposes, different pastimes, but he's not different persons. So in the same way, the avatars It's interesting, the word avatar is used here in relationship. Usually it's used, I'm just interested in this particular point. The word avatar is usually used to indicate someone who descends to the material world. Here it's used to indicate someone who descends from Goloka Vrindavan to Vaikuntha. In this particular context here, Gopi is using it in this particular context. So getting back to the point, just like Krishna is the same person, whether he's in Vaikuntha or as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu, like that, but he's just acting differently. The devotees are the same persons, and they just act differently in different spiritual abodes. But that means that those particular personalities are non-different, whereas in the case of demigods or Drona and Dara, they are different persons, but they're actually pratichaya expansions. Does everyone follow this so far? I mean, I'm trying to make it as clear as possible. It says, the same associates of Lord Narayan expand again into the material world to become demigods. This verse calls those demigods pratirupa counterparts. There's another word, pratirupa. They're counterparts rather than avatars. So an avatar means someone who descends. Tara means to cross over. Ava means down. So they're not, the demigods are not avatars in a real sense of the residents in Vaikuntha. They are counterparts. Because the demigods are materially conditioned living beings. Here, Gopi's making that point. Still, those demigods are empowered representatives of the Supreme Lord's personal associates, which is what I said before there, like Shaktivesh. They're empowered. So in the next few verses, and of course I won't have time to read all this, but you know, I recommend the devotees read this part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I'll give you the citation right now. I looked it up last night. It's third volume, sixth chapter, text 202. Sixth chapter of the second part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, beginning with text 202 for the next few texts after that. It explains all this elaborately. So it says, Sri Sharupa, that's Gopa Kumar, will describe the incarnations of the Goloka Vasis as parallel to Krishna's incarnations. That is, just as Krishna's avatars are non-different from him, the earthly associates of Krishna are non-different from the original Goloka, Goloka Vasis. That's what I just said before, actually. I'm just skipping over. The associates of the Lord in Vaikuntha who expand from the original Golokavasis are like the direct reflections of those Golokavasis, and the further which is called Pratibimba, and the further expansions as demigods are like shadows, Pratichaya, which is what I said before. Both a reflection and a shadow follow a person as expansions, but the shadow represents him less fully than does his mirror image. Thus, if Nanda Maharaj on earth is called an avatar of Drona, it is only because both of them are avatars of Nanda Maharaj and Goloka. In fact, Nanda on earth is identical with Nanda and Goloka, and Drona is only a partial expansion, but by worldly calculations, looking at it from a different point of view, demigods are considered relatively superior to humans, so Nanda on earth is considered Drona's incarnation. So, from a different perspective, this is so interesting. From a different perspective, Nanda is considered Drona's incarnation because from the hierarchy that we have in this world, you know, there's a hierarchy, it would be, let's say, a violation of etiquette. Material hierarchy. We're not talking about spiritual hierarchy. I said hierarchy that we have in this world. It would be considered a violation of etiquette to consider that someone on earth is expanding as a demigod. So, but that's only from material perspective. And Prabhupada says, not Prabhupada, but Gopi Prabhu says, When the Lord's associates manifest themselves as demigods, they also incarnate as earthly avatars whenever there is a need. So that's here's another point here. That Krishna's friend Sridham in Goloka appears as Garuda in two different forms, one an eternal associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha, and the other as the son of Vinata among the demigods, and occasionally he appears on earth as the original Sridham. So you have the same principle applying to Sridham, that the original Sridham is on earth, and he expands as Garuda amongst the demigods. Krishna's parents in Goloka, Srivasudeva and Devaki, appear as Sutapta and Prishni in Vaikuntha, Kashyapa and Aditi in Swarga, and sometimes in their original forms as Vasudeva and Devaki on earth. The avatars of other devotees follow the same pattern. Interesting. So this is, let's see if there's any additional information here. This is pretty much repeating the same thing. Another verse. The Golokavasis are born sometimes as partial expansions and sometimes as their full selves. Like Krishna, they vary their appearance for the time, place, and need. And so also you can understand, it's not mentioned here in the purport, but using philosophical speculation, you can understand that the associates of Lord Ramchandra are partial expansions of the Golokavasis. They're not pratichaya, shadow, like the demigods. They're not pratichaya like the demigods, but to serve Krishna in his form as Lord Ramchandra, they've actually expanded themselves partially. Just like Krishna, in one sense, expands himself partially, although he's non-different, you know, the same Krishna, as Lord Ramchandra, because Lord Ramchandra is considered Ete Changsa Kalak Pumsa, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, an expansion of Krishna. So the same way the Golokavasis expand to serve Lord Ramchandra. So this is... Anyway, so I advise the devotees to read these particular purports to understand... Oh, here's another interesting... Lord Varaha descended from the Shokara Puri of Vaikuntha for such purposes as lifting the earth from the lower regions. And at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, the same Krishna descended to Sri Mathura Mandal in his full form to display special blissful pastimes that would broadcast his loving devotional service all over the world. Thus Krishna's companions, impelled by their own moods of loving exchange, from time to time want to descend somewhere with their Lord. In other words, I mean, this is very attractive for me, that when you go back to the spiritual world, you can do all these other interesting things too at the same time with all of other Krishna's expansions. Let's say you go to Goloka Vrindavan. Of course, I probably won't go there. I'm going to go to Yamaraj's place. But anyway, let's say, theoretically, that I would go to Goloka Vrindavan, that I became interested in just like appearing with Lord Ram sometime. I could do that. It's so interesting.
With Gaurinathai.
Well, Gaurinathai is in Goloka, in Goloka Vrindavan. So there's a neighborhood. Prabhupada describes that there's a part of Goloka Vrindavan where, at Navadweep. Navadweep is part of Goloka Vrindavan. So you're in both places simultaneously, Prabhupada explained. If you're a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, you can be in Navadweep and simultaneously. I mean, how you can be in two places at one time, I can't conceive. I know you can do it because of the shastras. I mean, I can't even multitask in one place at one time. Every time I try to multitask, I slip up on both things that I'm doing. Isn't it? I mean, you make mistakes. You know, just like sometimes in the morning program, my mind is thinking of something and I'm trying to say a prayer. You know, I'm planning something else, what I'm going to do during the day, and I say the prayer wrong or forget the prayer. You know, I can't do two things at one time. Multitasking is not possible for human beings, actually. They can do time slicing, but but which actually diminishes their ability to do each particular task. Except if they're ladies, they can talk on the phone, take care of their baby, cook, clean the floor, and chastise their husband at the same time. Sometimes it's jokingly it's mentioned, but human beings can't multitask. But it'd be so interesting, you know, go back to the spiritual world, and then you say, oh, I want to join Lord Ramchandra, and you can do that and still be with Krishna and Krishna Loka simultaneously. You don't have to leave Krishna Loka to do that. Wow. That's in store for all of us if we go back to Godhead, isn't it? Such an interesting life we can have in Krishna consciousness.
Just have to surrender.
Just